Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight.
To the weekly conversation. I'm your host, D. Snyder, and this is actually the Daily House of Hair. Remember, if it's not metal, it's crap. Just kidding. Welcome to the Daily Conversation, folks. It's a weekly one that I do. Thank you. This week on the conversation, an update on my health and the blood tests. Also, Donald Trump not backing down at all about how Muslims in New Jersey were cheering 9/11 on, and there's actually proof. Also, Facebook CEO says he's going to give 99% of his shares value to better the world for his kids. In our lifetime, that is. And I'll get into that because it's a tax write-off. Also, I'm never going to blame or praise a president because of the gas price. But all these people are showing photos of the gas price. I'm going to see this dude blame Obama for that. Also, is the first episode of South Park coming true? The holiday extravaganza and the banning of everything. I'll get into that. Global warming and ISIS and the San Bernardino shooting. That much, much more. The conversation starts right now. Joshua 1:9. I have not commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And I've been saying that in my head all day. That's been my verse of the day that I've just been thinking about all day long. Wow, what craziness. You know, I think what we need to do seriously before I get into anything else is I think like every time the terrorists attack, we need to put up like 10 wind turbines to help combat the problem of terrorism, that is global warming. Just my opinion, but hey, I think it'd work, you know. I mean, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton think so, because they're not going to do anything about ISIS. And Hillary Clinton was actually asked, what would it take for you to do anything? And she really couldn't say anything. Well, I think we need to evaluate, like, how many troops we need. Okay, let me see. San Bernardino attack yesterday was deemed to be from ISIS. By this time today, Paris was already bombing Syria when they got attacked. What have we done? And you know where they got the information on where to bomb? The U.S. But, hey, what do I know? Wow. I guess through the grapevine, there's evidence that they've repealed Obamacare. We'll have to look into that, and they'll hopefully get some more information on that, because my medical bills have gone through the roof. And I want to get into something really quick before I go any further on some of the other topics. Is many of the followers know that the conversation, you know, I the first couple ones I did way back in the day were actually paranormal stuff, you know, UFOs, USOs, ghosts, stuff like that. Unexplained things, you know, like if you took the pyramids and they took 22 years to build, like the Great Pyramid in Giza, it would take 22 years is what the Egyptians claim. They would have to cut, form, and shape and put into place one block every 9 seconds from raw stone to do that in 22 years. Stuff like that. There's stones that are on the side of the mountain that are carved that are like 5 semis in weight. How did they put them up there? they showed a guy one time. He goes, well, we went from this part of L.A. to this part of L.A. with this huge stone to put in this museum. And what we had to do and build to move this stone from point A to point B, this is like a pebble compared to some of these stones, megalithic stones that are, you know, in the Mayan ruins and in like Egypt and stuff and some of these other parts of the world. How did they move them? Because they didn't have the equipment we do. And stuff like that's where I started. And then someone asked me, well, what's going on? Because I was having issues with my health. And I said, okay, this is what's going on. I have myopathy. I did shows about that. And about 3 weeks ago, I made a follow-up with my doctor. I got a cancellation appointment because I'm like, yeah, I took two antibiotics to get over the flu or whatever I had. And they said, you need to follow up with your doctor. So I'm like, okay, I'm following up with him and going through all the rigmarole because it's like, this is BS because I just don't like being sick. And it's gone around, and we've had several people that have been like me, where I took like two antibiotics or whatever. And I said, I have a question because my mom has, you know, celiac disease. You know, could I have that possibly? Because the thing that's kind of funny is because like I get this, not really funny, but I get blood work done by my insurance, and it gives you all kinds of information. And Dr. Lee's like, well, I was just going to order a bunch of these tests, and you know, this gives me everything I need. And, you know, I basically said, well, could I have the celiac disease? Because my mom does. And he goes, well, I just got that vibe in his eyes. You know, like, I'm just going to do blood tests to confirm what I know. Because I'm anemic, which that is big, big red flag. Stomach issues, you know, you can have bowel problems. They claim you can have cognitive issues in your brain. They've found some people besides, you know, you can have teeth issues and different things like that, because if you don't know, this is not an immune disease. And I got really, really, I almost went off on somebody, but I didn't, because I can be a really nice guy. You piss me off, I can stand my ground, just like my wife. But they said, and I got to, due to being on the radio, you know, I can't say a lot of what it said, but it's basically gluten-free on the menu is basically shut the bleep up. Because I guess they have like a little, like, they're in like a mall, and they have like a little stand where they make like all their own products from scratch, and they do a lot of different things like sauerkraut and stuff. And I guess they get people asking all the time, is this stuff gluten-free? And first of all, it's not a fad. One of my good friends, I think it was her sister, died from celiac disease. Basically, when you get this, it's an autoimmune disease. Basically, if you eat wheat, ingest wheat, or do anything with wheat, rye, barley, it basically attacks your small intestines, and it basically gets it to the point where your body is not able to absorb nutrients, and then basically you're becoming malnutritioned, and you die. And it can produce Crohn's disease, diabetes, cancers, all kinds of stuff. And I talked to a guy the other day when I was, because I've been researching this for a while, kind of since, because I did a gluten-free cookbook, you know, for my mom and her love for cooking and different things. And when I was doing this, I was talking to a guy like about 5 days ago, no, 4 days ago. And, you know, and he's like, well, I was supposedly, you guys don't know how lucky you are, because I was one of the first people ever diagnosed. And it was in 74, and he goes, they didn't have labeling like they do now. They didn't have rice flour. It was hard to get rice flour unless you went to some specialty Asian market, you know, where they have like a sweet rice flour, and some of those Asians use that. And, you know, so, and if you understand what I've said, blood test for celiac disease. So I have to hear the three words no man ever wants to hear, no more beer. It doesn't mean that I'm an alcoholic and I drink all the time, but there comes a time where, hey, maybe I'd like to have a beer or a glass or a scotch. I'm one of those people that respect alcohol. I don't just binge drink. But, you know, but you can't do that anymore because it kills you. I mean, you got to look at the toothpaste, because some toothpaste actually have wheat, and that will contaminate me. I have to look at every single solitary. We got rice, and when I was trying to go gluten-free to see if it helped me, we got this taco rice, and if you look at it, just like at work, we have this Uncle Ben's converted, it's like a wild rice blend. And when you look at the ingredients, it has hydrogenated wheat protein. If you look at a recipe on the back of a like an ingredient list and it says modified food starch, if it doesn't list what it is, 99% of the time, you're talking wheat. And this is not a fad. I know there are people that like, because they kind of did a whole South Park episode on it where they were like, you know, where Mr. Mackey went gluten-free and he feels so much better. Well, first of all, there's no evidence that being on a gluten-free diet is even close to beneficial for anyone except for someone like me. I mean, it's hard to go out to a restaurant because, yeah, the fries may be gluten-free, but if they fry wheat products in the fry oil in that fryer, it's contaminating my food. And there is some good news because I'm seeing a nutritionist on Tuesday. But there is some good news. There's actually, I'm actually considering looking into some of them. There's 3 clinical trials going on. One of the clinical trials, 2 of them are actually pills, and 1 of them is a shot. And the 1 pill, what it basically does is helps your body normally act normal. Because when you eat wheat, like when I eat wheat, it considers it a foreign object and it attacks it. And the pill, the 1 pill actually helps stop the body from doing that. The other pill actually helps do that a little bit, but it also helps heal the stomach. Because some people that have damage to their small intestine, some people get cured and it heals itself and some people don't. And this 3rd shot actually is like almost like a vaccine that you probably need to have booster shots. And what it does is it helps your body perform naturally. So like when you eat wheat, some people thought that it would just be something like, okay, you take this and you should still eat gluten-free, but if you need to eat wheat or, you know, if you have to for some reason, you're going to be okay with it. And they're finding out now that you can almost be normal like everyone else if you get the shot and all that. And I guess I want to kind of go way back in time, but in 1994 when I lost my best friend, Kyle Jones, I always wondered why do bad things happen to good people? You know, why do things happen? And sometimes I think there's a reason, and I have a voice. And I guess I want to let people know that we're not necessarily, this is permanent for us. Until one of these, the shots or the pills actually makes it into the mainstream in like 7 or 10 years, we don't have that option. It's not like a fad does. We don't have to, I'm just going to go gluten-free because it's the cool thing to do. It's the Dr. Atkins or whatever, you know. It's life-changing because I'm not a very nitpicky guy. I'm just, give me something and I'm going to eat it. Give me my baguette. There you go. Now I have to look at every ingredient, everything. Get me a magnifying glass because there's no governing body over gluten-free. So if the company says it's gluten-free, you have to take their word for it. But then at the same time, they can say water is gluten-free. Well, it naturally is. So is salt. There are people that I've met that won't eat salt unless it says gluten-free on there, but salt is gluten-free. But I guess some things like polenta, it'll be processed in the same facility as wheat. Therefore, you want to make sure that it's being produced in a facility that doesn't produce any wheat so that there's no potential of cross-contamination. But then some people say, well, even if it's produced in a facility that produces wheat and it says it's gluten-free, then a lot of people say that would mean that they have tested it and that it's below 20 parts per million of wheat protein. And that's the lowest they can go because that's the lowest they can test for. They don't have any testing to see if a product is like 5 parts per million. The lowest they can test is 20. So it's news to me, shock to me, you know. But, and one of the big things is, okay, I'm around wheat every day. Because if you actually go to the website, theceliacdisease.org, they actually say, well, if I don't eat this stuff, I don't have nothing to do with it. Can I work like in a bakery or in the kitchen or whatever, you know, kind of. And they said they don't recommend that at all. Because the wheat, because most places, even if it's like an Applebee's, a lot of those, they'll take the pork tenderloin and they'll pound it out thin and they'll dredge it in flour and they'll put it on the grill. And they'll do a grilled tenderloin or they'll bread it and then they'll fry it. Well, you get flour in the air and I inhale the flour, it gets into my body, it contaminates me. So me, unless there's a gluten-free restaurant or something, which I've not heard of, who knows what I'm going to do? Because, you know, like Dale Sr. said one time when he was asked, what would you do if you couldn't drive a race car anymore? What did he tell everybody? I'd be a race car driver. I don't know what I'd do. You know? But I'll get the Lord will tell me what I'm going to do. He's my rock. He's my salvation. I'm this far with him. And, you know, then, you know, all I've been doing since I was diagnosed is praying and just asking him for guidance. And that's all you can do. You never know. It may end up being the greatest thing that ever happened to me. You never know. It may turn my life around. I don't know. There's always, the Bible never says it, offers an explanation. God will. It just says he'll be there. And he's been there even when I haven't been with him 100%. You know, you got to sit there and say, okay, thank you for the blessings of this. Thank you for what I have. You know, so many people want to complain about what they don't have. Be grateful for what you do have. Enough said. Now we got to be prepared because, you know, we got to get those wind turbines built because we got to hurry up because we got to get this global warming under control before the terrorists get even more violent. But honestly, I think really, you know, if we just have sensible gun laws, that would just solve everything because, you know, these criminal terrorist Islamic extremists that aren't going to follow any law anyways, that's really going to stop them from getting a weapon. They're not even legally supposed to be here. But, you know, we're gonna pass a gun law to make sure that they can't get a weapon when they not even... Okay, well, there's immigration laws that they're not even following. Ding, 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 ding. I mean, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have no interest. I mean, you wonder if he would do anything if a 9/11 happened again. This thing in San Bernardino... They have found like 13,000 ammunition, pieces of ammunition. They found enough stuff to, I think, materials to make 300 pipe bombs. I guess they had pipe bombs strapped to them, and they guess they malfunctioned is what they're saying. But if you watch CNN, MSNBC, all the liberal news media, well, first it's, you know, it has to be some right-wing nut. Then it has to be, since it's near a Planned Parenthood thing, you know, just what I want to do. You know, I'm against Planned Parenthood for selling baby body parts. So I'm just going to kill a bunch of innocent people. That makes a heck of a lot of sense. Hey. I mean, seriously, folks, I don't get it. I don't understand. And what's it going to take for them to finally wake up and say, we got to do something here. What did Paris got attacked, and what did they do the next day? They bombed the heck out of Syria. What do? We get attacked. Well, we need to find out because I know that if you really look at the website, ISIS has claimed responsibility for those 14 deaths. But, you know, we need to really make sure that it really was them, and we need to try to spend about 2 or 3 years trying to figure out a good battle plan so we can make sure that we're not wasting, you know, American lives by fighting this. That's about how they are. You know, we need to make sure that we get enough wind turbines up there. Make sure we print plenty of job applications, you know, so that they can have jobs to solve everything. If a Republican was saying that, let me tell you, they'd be going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Not like Kamala Rivera, his daughter.
Yeah.
When, 120
yeah, when Geraldo Rivera's daughter was in that Paris stadium, that's when he's like, wait a minute here. I'm very left, but something's got to be done. Well, because there are people who have come up and said, we basically show Obama, hey, this is what's going on. And he doesn't want to hear it. Like I've said before, I feel like he wants to be known like a Bill Clinton, and that's went on during his presidency. And they're still acting like sensible gun laws would have solved these Islamic extremists attacking us, so they're not going to follow any law, period. You know what? And I've said this before. I was in Myers in Michigan, and I was standing in line, and lo and behold, I've broken the law before. I'll be honest. I guess in Chicago, you can't conceal and carry, and it doesn't matter what permit you have. I guess they don't recognize that. And I'm like, I have the Second Amendment. I'm all in Chicago. You better damn believe I'm carrying. You know, and in Indiana, they just have a permit, so you can open carry or conceal carry. Some states they have where you either get like a concealed permit or an open permit, or you can have both. Indiana, it's just one permit that you can do it whatever you want. And some people don't suggest you open carry because if some liberal sees you, they might try to find anything to see if they can get you to, you know, so like, let's see if I can find out if he's following every single solitary law and da-da-da and all this, you know, because they don't believe in carrying guns. And I went up to him and I said, what is that? Is that a 38? And he goes, 45. And he goes, I said, that's nice. You know, that's awesome. And I go, I got a Beretta 9mm Nano, and I pulled up my shirt and showed him, and he's like, awesome. I said, that thing's great, man. It's smooth. There's no safety. You know, it's safety, so like if you drop it, fire. You know, I said, I supported that guy because I felt safe around him. You know, my guns by my bed. And how many times has it gone on a killing rampage? None. They actually asked Deion Sanders. I guess they were going to hope for a different response, you know, like about the stuff going on in San Bernardino and all this and his thoughts on guns. And he goes, well, you know, guns aren't going out and killing people in droves by themselves. You know, it's not the guns, it's the people. You know, Islamic extremists are not... They're the problem. They're the ones doing it, not the gun. Okay, give them a super soaker and see what happens. How much carnage are they going to cause with a super soaker? Not too much. I might get wet. But with a gun, yeah, they're going to do damage. Not because of the gun, because of them. Give them a knife and they'll do the same thing. Give them a pipe bomb. I didn't hear. They had, what was it? They had pipe bombs strapped to their chest and the ability to make 300 or so more, and they accidentally didn't go off. What if they went off? I would have loved it for someone from the West try to ban pipe bombs. They probably wouldn't even talk about it because it doesn't fit their agenda. Unless it involves some right-wing nut job, which I am. I'm a right-wing nut job. Because I want freedom in this country. I want, go into my kitchen, go under my sink. I have a fire extinguisher. Same reason why I carry a gun. I pray to God I never have to use the fire extinguisher, but it's there if I need it. I pray to God I never have to use a gun, but if I need to, I've got it on my side to protect me. I don't want to sit there and be on the phone. I can't really talk because, you know, if someone, you know, if they hear me on the phone, this is 911, can't hear you. I can't really talk too loud because, you know, there's a gunman. I'm in a theater and he's shooting. I'm going to sit there and say, okay, I've got a gun. Hopefully this can end without me using it. But if I have to, then I will at last resort use the weapon to defuse the situation. Because every time a criminal in a situation like in a school shooting or whatever is confronted by a citizen or a man in blue with a gun, it ends right there. But liberals won't talk about that because that doesn't fit their agenda of sensible gun laws that criminals never follow. You know, I mean, I don't know why. I know why, because Barack Obama's Muslim. That's why he can't call them radical Islamics. You know, all these people that have done all this damage in the United States are all Muslims. I'm not saying all. Who cares about the 95% of the Muslims that are peaceful and loving? Who cares about them? If there's a million Muslims and 999,999 of them are peaceful and loving, who cares if that one has a bomb and kills 5,000 people? Those other 999,999 were irrelevant compared to that one person. But we can't pigeonhole. Nope, you can't. But they want to pigeonhole Christians and act like we're not perfect. Where does it say in the Bible that a Christian's perfect? It doesn't. But Christians are always seen as, well, my belief, you know, shove it down your throat. But atheists, they're never seen as shoving their belief down my throat when they want to ban every Christmas symbol, every nativity scene. Yep. I have Jewish friends that don't care when I say, I celebrate Hanukkah. Well, you know, I always used to say, you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. I said them both. Whatever, you know what I mean? But that's what we're going to get to. A South Park. The South Park Holiday Extravaganza from Miller's composer Philip Glass. This is awful. Yeah, because you took out Christmas. Well, you said it couldn't have Jesus in there. Well, you took out the Christmas trees. Well, you said no lights. Well, you said no star. You said no this. And before you know it, there ain't a holiday of anything. That doesn't sound like a world I want to live in. Pretty soon you won't be able to give gifts on that day. Yeah, we need to see your ID because you say on the 25th of December it's your birthday. We just got to confirm that, making sure you're not buying gifts for Christmas because that's illegal. But it's coming. But then you have people like Mark Zuckerberg. He's going to be the greatest Christmas giver by giving 99% of his shares to help make the world a better place for his kids. In our lifetime. In our lifetime is what he said. So from now until the day he dies, tax write-off. What it is. It's a point and blank tax write-off. He's going to give the gift to avoid paying taxes. He's a liberal. Why doesn't he give the money back to the government? I mean, what do you think all these celebrities donate so much money? It's to avoid taxes. And that's over as well. I mean, if he was going to say, okay, here's the 99%, here's what the shares are worth, $45 billion, I'm going to donate all that money right now, bang. Okay. And probably going to give a big chunk of it to Hillary Clinton, you know. Just I think that's what he's going to do. You know. He's got to donate it to some charity to get a tax write-off. Since it's in our lifetime, that could be 25, 30, 40, 50, who knows. I might just hold on to it, and by the time I was going to donate it, but I died before I did. Sorry. He never made a specific date, like in 2 years, it's going to be all donated. I know. He's going to do whatever he has to do, a tax write-off. The rest he's going to keep as long as he can. He ain't stupid. He's just trying to get political points. See, but the liberals can do that. Hillary Clinton can change her stance on an issue 55 million times. She's able to do that. But if a conservative was to do that, Lord help me. Well, you said on your one show, you know what? But you'll wake me up with the coals if I say, hey, well, hell's wrong, or this is what I used to think, and now I think this. When Hillary Clinton changes her viewpoint just to get the black vote or Hispanic vote or whatever, you know? Oh, well, she's not allowed to change her mind? I said, well, it depends. You know, if she really means it, but when she's just doing it to get votes, I can guarantee you if Ted Cruz was to do that, you'd be calling him out on changing. See, this is what he said 2 years ago or 10 years ago. See, Ted Cruz cannot change his viewpoint. Hillary Clinton can do it 25 times in one day. How it is, folks. That's the non-double standard that doesn't exist. I really love this. This is great. Oklahoma Wesleyan University president told his students to grow the bleep up, and this is not daycare. You know, that's what when I went to culinary, that's why I loved culinary school. Okay, I'm not your mama. I'm not going to wipe your butt. Okay, if you got to go to the bathroom, some chefs would be like, take your apron off, put it down, and that means you left the kitchen. You don't have to ask me. And then one chef is great because he'd be like, you know, chef, can I go to the restroom? I don't know. Do you know how? You want me to hold your hand? And I'm like, I finally got to the point, I'm like, when someone said, I'm like, chef, can I leave the kitchen to use the bathroom? Will you let me go? I tried to phrase it, and you know, he couldn't make any sense. Yes. You know, I'm not going to babysit you. You're going to learn. You know, and it's about time a university president stands up and says, well, see, Rosa Parks wanted to sit where everyone sits. These Black Lives Matter people, they want to have a special little safe area. You know, if I was the president, I'm like, no, you need to go the bleep up, take your diapers off, put on some underwear, pull your pants up. Okay, the Constitution doesn't give you the right to not be offended. Okay, there's a World War I monument that a judge threw the court out, threw the whole case out because there are people that are offended by it because it's a cross. I'm going to give you my viewpoint on that right now. Okay, if we go to war, if Obama ever goes to war with ISIS, which will never happen, but let's say hypothetically, let's say he actually goes to war with ISIS. Okay, and there is a group of atheists that go fight for our country, and some of them die, and they put up a war memorial for them, for their heroics, and it has things on it that represent atheism. I would have no problem with that because they died for their country, and that's what they believed. If someone from World War I, World War II, or Vietnam dies for their country, and they believe in God, and you want to take something down, it doesn't even involve you because you think that we're pushing our religion on you. How is a monument honoring people who believed in Jesus Christ? How is that pushing any religion on you when we're honoring those people that died so you could have a freedom you have? You're wanting to take down the one reason why you're able to stand up and say, hey, that offends me. It's ridiculous. You want to mock the very piece of paper written on hemp paper, might I add, that gives you the right to say, hey, I'm against this. Many countries, you don't have a right. You don't have the right to say, hey, I don't agree with my parliament's decisions. You know, you may disagree with the Constitution, but it's that piece of paper that gives you the right to say you don't agree with it. But then half the people that say they hold up their right hand and, you know, swear to uphold it, don't. They don't. And I've had several people recently that are like, oh, yeah, okay, guess what? I want to see you try to blame Obama for the gas price now. I'm like, and I actually wrote someone back. I said, I'm not going to praise or go off on somebody or blame them because of the gas price. I wasn't blaming Bush for a $4 gas, and I sure in the heck really wasn't blaming Barack Obama for $4 gas. He was saying at the time, he goes, under my energy policies, my energy prices will necessarily skyrocket. But Barack Obama really has no control over OPEC. He can influence it, but can't really do much. You know, contrary to popular belief, you know. But, I mean, this is the part of the show where I was doing a little stories about the ridiculousness of this world, because the White House was asked, you know, about commenting, can you comment or go in more detail what Barack Obama means about how global warming is like a big threat? And he says, well, ISIS and global warming are both major threats. They're just different. So, there was no differentiation between threats from ISIS or global warming. Like, you might as well be prepared for both because they're both going to get us. Even though NASA photos in 2015 showed more ice. You know, I'm not the smartest man in the world. I'm not a rocket scientist. But let me tell you something. I remember when I took Earth science in school and we learned about how that they believe many Earth cycles where the planet was very, very warm. And then it went to a time where it was very, 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 very cold. Then it went to a period where it's warming back up again. Okay, they've done core sample drilling in the Earth to see, okay, well, what's in there? What's in the rock sediments? And when they did the North and South Poles, they found out at one time when they drilled far enough that it was water. Oh, but the North and South Poles are melting. Well, they were water at one point. Maybe they're going back to water again. It's not like they never were water. You know, if I was getting $20 billion, you know, saying global warming was this and global warming was that, hey, you know, I guess I would be, you know, saying it's global warming too if I was getting that kind of money, but I'm not. So, but, you know. You know, people on the left and right will do whatever they can to line their pocketbooks and say whatever they want to. That's why for many, 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 many years, they had a hard time. How can you go after the tobacco companies when they're donating millions and millions of dollars to this political party or this person or this Democrat or that Republican? You know? Can't say cigarettes are bad because I just got $30 million from Philip Morris. You know, hey, that's what's going on. How can, you know, when most of those people are career politicians that are in bed with the lobbyists, it is. And I want to get into this as the holiday season because this has been, I think Maryland is where it's happening a lot, but it's been found all over the U.S., and this is an alert. This is something that I really felt the need to do this. Under no circumstances do you ever touch a $100 bill on your windshield. What they're finding out is, like, they're putting a $100 bill, even a fake $100 bill, on your windshield underneath your windshield wiper. And people are getting in the car, and they're starting their car, and then they notice it, and they go out, which I would notice it before I even got in my car. But what they're finding out is people are getting in their car, starting it, and when they notice it, they go out to get the $100 bill, and then they get their car gets jacked. Somebody comes up with a knife or a gun and hijacks their car, and it's stolen. And there have been plenty of people that have done that, and I guess somebody fought them off or something. That's how they've had somebody that actually took a photo of the $100 bill and stuff and fended them off. I think that's how they got a photo of it to, you know, to basically showcase. But it's just be leery of anything. And this is not a scam. This is not one of those, like, YouTube, you know, like, pranks where if you look it up, you find out it's, you know, like, well, Yeah, well, I heard that in if you go into Tennessee, I heard that there are people that when they're going down the road at night, that someone's coming in the other direction without their lights on, and if you flash your high beams at them, they chase you. It's not a scam. This is actually really going on. Police is actually getting involved. But like a lot of people, like one thing is if you ever watch the Drugs Inc. where they do the car stealing, and they have people that are getting a hold of a device that they can reprogram your car's keys and everything, so they can disable alarms. You know, they have to go through a lot of hoops to get those because you have to have all these licenses and stuff through dealers. But there are people that are getting the documents forged to get them. And then they'll lease them out to a gang that goes around and steals cars. It's just something that's going on that you need to be careful of and just be. And seeing that I just sent in my papers for jury duty in 2016, I'm up for a potential juror. I didn't put any days that I wouldn't be here, just, you know, whatever. But anywho, there was a guy in Mecosta County, Michigan, Keith Wood, 39-year-old, who took and charged $15,000 to post bail because he is accused of jury tampering because he was handing out flyers about jury rights. You have rights as a juror. Not many people know this. It's about 1879, I think, if my history corrects me around there, 1879, like 1880s, judges stopped informing jurors of this. And he is accused of jury tampering when he's just handing out free information. See, you have a little thing, there's a little thing called jury nullification, which you actually have the legal right to. And what that means is if there's sufficient evidence to convict this person, you can overturn that conviction if you find the law immoral or wrongfully applied. So if you say, okay, well, if this guy's getting busted for medical for marijuana and he's using it for medical purposes only, and you know, and you deem that, hey, they may not be able to showcase the evidence, but if you deem that he's not using it, that you think the law is immoral, you could actually say, no, I'm not gonna. He's not guilty. You have that legal right to vote that way. You may not get a lot of people to side with you, but you have that jury nullification. If you had, like, everybody vote that way, then he'd be free. You know, if you had a bunch of people that use their jury, because you can vote with your conscience. If you think that this law is BS, you have the legal right to say, hey, I don't agree with this. You're rarely going to have someone that even knows of that law, let alone a bunch of people that set a serial killer free. But mainly, I could see it being used if, okay, let's say I'm a dad and this guy rapes my 7-year-old daughter and I kill him and then I'm on trial for murder when, you know, and say, hey, well, I don't agree with this because he was protecting his child and yet whatever, you know. He was doing what any parent would do. So, you know, and I don't think he should be possibly getting the death penalty when the guy was a child molester, and so who knows. But hey, got about 14 minutes left in the program, folks, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. And I'm going to get into a little bit of football news. English Premier League, Louis Van Gaal, second in the English Premier League. They're doing well in the Champions League. They're second in Group B. They got 8 points. I mean, they're not a Barcelona, you know, or a Real, like 13, you know, or a, but still, they're really up there. And some people want Louis Van Gaal gone. And he's commented that he would leave coaching in 2017 anyways, just to be there for his family more. there is actually evidence in the works that Pep Gardenal, I can't pronounce his name right. He's the manager from 2007 to 2012 of Barcelona, and from 2013 to 2016, he has a contract with FC Bayern Munich, and he has openly stated that he wants to have a shot at the Manchester United job, and I could see him taking over Guardiola. I could see him really taking over, and I think it would be good if Louis van Gaal, I want him to stay. If he's really true with his view that he was going to leave in 2017 to be there for his family and his kids, okay, then when Guardiola retires from FC Bayern Munich, you know, when he leaves there in 2016 and would take over for United in 2017, I could see that, the transition. I could see that, you know. But if, you know, if Van Gaal is going to stay coaching for longer than 2017, then I'd like to see Van Gaal stay there. You know, I think he's a great coach. You know, I think he's doing a great job. I mean, I can't complain. Maybe, I mean, we're not scoring as much as I think we should, but hey, what do you know? But still, I mean, I think if he really is going to leave at 2017, you know, hey, then Guardiola can come in. I think it'd be a seamless transition. You know, because they kind of have the same coaching style and the same mentality on the pitch and how they play, you know, the center halves and the midfielders, you know. So I think it'd be a great option. But then you got to look at it like this, okay, where do you put in? I mean, you have someone like Ryan Giggs that's been there for a long time. Should he have a shot? If he wants to consider becoming the manager, should he have a shot? Or do you think, hey, you know, we want you to go to, I don't know, like, take over the Wolverhampton Wanderers, you know, or Leicester, and gain, you know, or one of those clubs that would want that are looking for a new manager and gain experience. And then, you know, when the time's right come, or should he get the opportunity to, if Van Gaal was to leave, you know, give Ryan Giggs the shot, or Rio Ferdinand, or one of those, you know? I don't know. But I think they should be given the opportunity. Hey, he doesn't have to take it, but hey, you know, I don't want to see him given the opportunity and he falls flat in his face. I don't want to have a David Moyes happen at him because he's not ready yet, you know, but a lot of successful coaches have come out of playing for Sir Alex Ferguson. So I don't think he would do bad. But I do want to make sure we have someone that's established, you know, like Guardiola, to take over if Louis van Gaal was to fulfill his family's obligations and be there for his family more and leave in 2017, you know. If that's my view on that, you know. I think they should give Ryan Giggs some chance if he wants it, you know, say, hey. Or if they think he's too young yet, and okay, but I mean, or maybe have him coach the under 21 club, manage them, and see, you know, and gain, you know, gain experience that way a lot. We'll see though. And as you all know, my New York Red Bulls were one goal away from, inches away from tying it up, and possibly going on to the championship game in the MLS Cup, but we fell short. Stalwart Roy Miller will not be returning to the Red Bull lineup in 2016, which is really going to hurt us. I mean, I think we got a good coach. We got a good crew. You know, Bradley Wright Phillips, incredible. He's staying, you know. I think we just got to build on it. And I think Columbus, they were kind of like me. I'm like, oh, you know, I never would have thought they would be a threat in the end of the season, and let me tell you, they were, you know. But like they always say, a lot of these teams that win the, you know, the supporter shield don't really go anywhere, and we went farther than most, you know. So, but it's just, we'll get them next year. You know, we'll get them next year. I think we're going to bring a lot of the same players back. And Stovall, Roy Miller will be missed because he was just incredible, incredible. He was a great addition to the team on defense and on offense. You know, so I'm just really, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what kind of trades we can get in the off season. You know, when they open it up, if we can, you know, because a lot of people are wanting, because I know this, I guess in Miami, I think it is somewhere in Florida, 2 years ago, or whatever. David Beckham, I think it was, said that he wanted to start an MLS expansion team and hasn't gone anywhere, and they're wondering if his promises are full of smoke. You know, I think we got a great MLS lineup of teams. A lot of people are hoping that maybe we can attract some people that, hey, instead of going to the Premier League or the Burgundis League, you know, hey, he could play for Real Madrid, but he's going to play for LA Galaxy or for Chivas USA or DC United or my Red Bulls. You know, whatever, or the Chicago Fire, you know, get some of these. Not that we don't have some high dollar talent, but, you know, get some of those people instead of, you know, like almost feeling like the MLS is like when you're done with the Spanish League or the Premier League or the Bundesliga, you go to, you know, it's like the senior league, it's like the retirement. You know, now that your career's done at Manchester United, you've been there 30 years, okay, now you're going to go to LA Galaxy and finish out what little bit you have left of your career. You know, it'd be neat to see, to get some really, really high-end players that, hey, he's leaving New York to go play for this. He started at the Red Bulls or LA Galaxy, and then he went on to Real Madrid. You know, that'd be kind of amazing to see. I think it could happen. I mean, it's... I think football, aka soccer, is never going to be in the U.S. like it is in Europe or in Spain or in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And maybe in time, but I mean, see, but the European football is like the Green Bay Packers. When your team's on, that city shuts down. You ain't getting, I mean, I don't care if you get shot with a bullet, there's no operation, they're watching the dang game. Good luck. You're not one, you know, but that's, you know, I mean, hypothetically, I mean, yeah, they will, you would get operation, but, you know, like factory shut down so that the people can watch the game. And then it's fun when the Green Bay Packers lose and, but, you know, it's great. I think it's expanding the horizons, you know, I mean, got about 4 minutes left in the program, folks. I want to thank you for tuning in and listening in. And, you know, it's an ever-changing world. You know, you got to enjoy your day and be thankful for it, you know. Yeah, I got this autoimmune disease, celiac, but maybe one of my things is to spread awareness and to let people realize that, hey, for a lot of people, it's a way of life. And it's not the end of the world. I mean, when they said, well, yeah, you have allergies to wheat. I'm like, so I have celiac disease. Yep. And I lost it. I broke down, but then I'm like, wait a minute, who's in charge here? Sure in the heck's not that nurse on the other end, and it's not me. It's the man upstairs. And we all we sometimes forget that, you know. And there's always a reason. And, you know, and if I never thought that my support, I always thought that I'd get help from that support group. I never thought for one second that support group, I would be helping others and finding two people that have a hard time finding any type of decent medical help that get to talk to each other and live in the same area. And it's a comfort to them that, hey, you know, we have crappy medical here in my country, and to find someone else that's dealing with the same stuff I'm going through with their daughter and my son, and, you know, and it's just, you know, I never would have thought that people would help each other. I need help. I got to do a support group so I can get some support. That's what I started that support group for, so I can get support. And now people are helping me. No. We're helping, people are helping everybody. And some, you know, when some people goes ask questions, like, almost medically, and, like, and this lady goes, no, we're all just people that suffer from the same type of illness or myopathy, and we're just here for each other. To, you know, some people have a hard time, like, using their hands and stuff because they're very far along in their muscle deterioration. So I'm able to sit there and do research for them, and I type, and I'll send it to them. And when they click on the button, it brings up all the stuff for them. So they don't have to go looking through, because it's hard for them to go to Yahoo or Google and look up all this stuff. And I can do it for them. Yeah. That's what my wife said, it's God. You know, and it's just true. And it's just amazing, you know, that. And maybe that's what I'm supposed to do with this. Just, I know, but then I hate being that person that's like, excuse me, I'm sure. What do you have here that's wheat-free? With, you know, because I don't like to be the complaining pants person or whatever. I guess I don't like to be that person that, like, I just kind of go with the flow. I may not like it, but I'm not going to say anything because whatever. I'm not one of these people that, like, complains about every little nit and cranny. You know, and that's just me, you know, to think that now I'm going to have to, okay, well, yeah, your menu says, it says modified food starch, is that wheat or corn? Oh, it's wheat, okay, well, I can't eat that, okay. You know, because, and there's a lot we don't know about, because I'm basically understanding from what I've read that, okay, if I was to go to church on Sunday and have the communion at Mass, I'm content. I might as well not go gluten free at all because I'm contaminating myself enough on Sunday that it's not even. And then other people don't. I don't think they know that yet, because I mean it would take, you know, you having to do biopsies to say, okay, well, how much is that little bit affecting you? I guess everyone's going on the safe side because they'd rather be safe than sorry. They'd rather have you be overly cautious and not hurt yourself, but then you may find out later that no matter how cautious you are, you're probably going to cause damage anyway. So who knows? We don't know. But, you know, probably on this program, I'll be bringing the newest and latest updates on any information on testing or whatever. You know, and just spread the awareness about what I know and what I find out. But I got about 10 seconds left in the program, folks. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. It means the world, all my listeners out there. And I want to wish you all a great Merry Christmas coming up. God bless you all. Until next week, goodbye.